Hello and welcome to our program. We are looking at people who were witnessed to in the Bible and some got saved. Particularly today, we'll look at the woman at the well. We'll be in John chapter 4. Have your Bible ready. A day like any other day for the woman of Samaria. She went out to draw water, noon, high noon, it was hot. She got there, Jesus was sitting on the well. After her discussion with him, we read in John chapter 4 and verse number 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In verse number 35, Jesus said to his disciples, Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the field, for they are white already to harvest. Why did he say that? Well, coming across the horizon, there was a whole group of people from the city of Samaria. Verse 39 says, And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode with them 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. What a tremendous story we have here. The woman of Samaria was an immoral woman. She had a heavy heart. She talked with Jesus at the well, and at the end of that conversation, she could say, No one ever cared for me like Jesus.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in him a friend so strong and true, I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
All my life was wrecked by sin when Jesus found me. Oh, my heart was full of misery and woe.
Jesus placed his strong and loving arms about me, and he led me in the way I ought to go.
No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me, till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
There are many tremendous stories in the Word of God about people getting saved, and this is one that really touches the heart. An immoral woman who could honestly sing that song we've just been listening to, "No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus." Before we look at this portion of Scripture, it would be good, I think, to have a little background concerning the Samaritans. If we go back a few hundred years, God's nation was united as a kingdom, and it was united under King Saul, King David, and Solomon. But after the death of Solomon, the kingdom divided. There was Israel in the north, and there was Judah in the south. In the north, all the kings that were over the nation there were wicked kings. The capital of the northern kingdom was Samaria. Samaria is mentioned 124 times in the Bible, and only 12 of those are in the New Testament. The word Samaritan, singular, is three times, all in the New Testament, and the word Samaritans, plural, we find seven times in the New Testament. Well, as these wicked kings led God's people astray, they decided they would establish their own temple there on the mountain in Samaria. They had their own high priest, and they were following all of the rituals that were there in the Word of God. However, this is not what God wanted. God had a temple in Jerusalem, and that is where they were supposed to meet. Also, the Samaritans and the Jews began to intermarry, the unsaved, the saved, the pagans. The religion came in, and things really got corrupt. God sent some prophets to them to try to steer them back, such as Elijah and Elisha and Amos, but they ignored those prophets, except for a very small remnant. Well, as a result of ignoring God, it's not very long before we find that they were taken captivity into Assyria. Now, Judah was the smaller kingdom in the south, and they had a few good kings, but soon one leader after another turned them away from God and away from God's way. God had some prophets for them as well, and some of them were Isaiah, Jeremiah, Joel, Micah, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Well, they ignored them also and didn't bother to listen to God's prophets, except for a small remnant. Isaiah 1:19 says, "Except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah." Well, it's the same thing today. Things are going drastically into this age of apostasy, and yet God has a very small remnant who will stand true for him today. However, Judah here in the south, like Israel in the north, they wouldn't listen to God's people, and they ended up in captivity to the Babylonians, and Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed. The Jews in Babylon later, were about 70 years later, were allowed to return to their homeland, and there we have Ezra building the temple and Nehemiah building the walls, and we read the story of how the Sanballat and Tobiah and all of those came against Nehemiah in that story, because for centuries and for centuries the Samaritans and the Jews had serious animosity one towards another. In fact, we see that in Luke chapter 9, verse 51 through verse 56, when it was just before Jesus was going to be crucified. And we read in verse number 51, "It came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem, and they wouldn't have anything to do with him because he was going to go to Jerusalem. Well, we get the reaction of the disciples. It, verse number 54 says, "And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, 'Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did?' But he," that is Jesus, "turned and rebuked them and said, 'Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them.' And they went to another village." Now, with that in mind, let's look at the story of the woman of Samaria as we find in John chapter 4. In verse number 3, it says, "He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria." Now, no self-respecting Jew went through Samaria, and the disciples, you know, they're saying, "No, look, we normally go around, we cross over the river here, and we go around Samaria. We don't go through the Samaritans." Jesus said, "I must needs go through Samaria." Now, that's interesting, because back in Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 5, we read that Jesus said, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not." Now, we need to explain that. The reason for that is, and it's very important to understand this if you're going to study the New Testament, all the way through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the early chapters of the book of Acts, there were two messages being preached simultaneously. One message had to do with the kingdom of God, that is the literal kingdom of God that was going to be set up in the world here, a literal kingdom. Jesus would rule from Jerusalem. They said, "No, we'll not have this man reign over us," and they crucified him. We know the story. Now, that message for a literal kingdom, it was that message that Jesus said, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles and into the city of the Samaritans, enter ye not." That message was for the kingdom of Israel and only for the God's people, the Jews. Don't take this message to the Gentiles. Don't take this message to the Samaritans. Well, when it comes to trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's the other message, and that message is for whosoever will. And it was with that message that he said he must needs go through Samaria. In verse number 6, we read, "And therefore, being wearied with his journey, he thus sat on the well." I think it's interesting that it says here he was wearied with his journey. If there's anything that Jesus and I have in common, there it is right there. I'm weary with my journey too. But never, not to the place where I say, "Well, I think I'll quit and sit down and do nothing." And neither did Jesus. He was weary with his journey, and he sat thus on the well. It's interesting, you have the story of him being very weary back in Mark chapter 4, verse 36 to 38. It says there, "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships." They took him. That is, I think what it's saying here is he was so weary that they had to help him to get into the ship, even as he was. Well, we read in verse 37, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat under the ship, so that it was now full." That's quite a storm. I think that would certainly get your attention if you were in that boat. A great storm. The wind, it says, the waves beat on the ship, and it was full of water. What was Jesus doing? Verse 38, "And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow." Now, can you imagine being there and being that weary? The water's coming up by your ankles and then by your knees, and the next thing you know, it says that the ship was full of water, and he was still asleep. I think it's because he was just that tired. "Well, they awake him and said unto him, 'Master, carest thou not that we perish?'" That was a really stupid question. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." And you remember in that story, he rebuked them sharply. He said, "How is it that ye have no faith?" Well, the reason that he said that, I read that was a young child that was saved when I was 12. I read that story soon afterward, and I thought, he's kind of harsh on them. The ship was going down. Well, the reason that he rebuked them so sharply was, if you read the first of the chapter, it says they were going over to the other side. If you read at the end of the chapter, it says they were at the other side, and they should not doubt in the storm what God told them in the sunshine. He said they're going the other side. They're going the other side. Well, in any event, let's go back to the story of the woman from Samaria. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well. Well, we read in verse number 6, it was about the sixth hour. Now, this situation took place at noon. Nicodemus, remember the story? That one was at night. This one's at noon, and this woman comes to draw water. It says in verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Now, usually it was early in the morning or in the evening when it was cooler that the women came to draw water. And they used to like to come together, and they would have a time of fellowship as these ladies talked about things. This was high noon, and the reason I think that it was high noon was this woman was a wicked, immoral woman, and other people in town would have nothing to do with her. So she would come when she thought that she would be there alone. Well, in Matthew 27, in verse number 45, it also mentions the sixth hour, and that was when Jesus was on the cross, and it says there was darkness over all the land from the sixth hour unto the ninth hour. I wonder later, as the woman from Samaria, and you know, she received the Lord, and it was about the sixth hour, and the same thing happened when there was darkness on the land from the sixth hour until the ninth hour. I wonder if that woman of Samaria, I wonder where she was at that time, and she was thinking about that meeting. That was no accidental meeting at that particular hour of the day. I'm sure that brought back the memories of what happened at the sixth hour. In any event, we read in verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Now, these are the first words that are spoken in this story, and we'll be looking at them in our next broadcast. In the meantime, listen to this message and song. I'm sure the woman from Samaria could sing it. Only a sinner saved by grace.
Not have I gotten, but what I received. Grace hath bestowed it since I have believed. Boasting excluded, pride I abase, I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. This is my story, to God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Once I was foolish, and sin ruled my heart, causing my footsteps from God to depart. Jesus has found me, happy my case. I now am a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. This is my story, to God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Tears unavailing, no merit had I. Mercy had saved me, or else I must die. Sin had alarmed me, fearing God's face, but now I'm a sinner, saved by grace. Ooh. sinner whose heart overflows, loving his Savior to tell what he knows. Once more to tell it, would I embrace? I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. This is my story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner.